Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you from Greenville, South Carolina, the Tyranny Response Network's 15th week. We welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. If you're just getting ready for work, note that it's a little bit chilly outside, only 36 degrees. Now, that's a tough temperature for the 25th of April. Many plants might have even had some difficulty last night if you already planted your flower gardens. However, it's going to get up all the way to 66 degrees today and have mostly sunny skies the entire day. So just a little bit cool this morning. Some might even say cold. For those listening on our broadcast in other parts of the country, like California, that really might seem cold, or Florida. At any rate, a little bit cold today, so make sure that you're well prepared on your way to work. I want to remind everybody that at 10 o'clock today, the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting will take place over at the Pelham Road Sims Library. That's right between Hudson and I-85, on Pelham Road. Americans for Constitutional Government meets monthly in the Sims Library at 10 o'clock, and this is the fourth Monday of the month, and therefore they'll be meeting today. They have speakers who share information on topics of local as well as national interest. The subjects vary from social to political, from economic to environmental. You're sure to hear something interesting, revealing, and perhaps something with which you may disagree. You're invited to speak up and share your views. Their nonpartisan organization began in 1963, and they would encourage you to attend the meeting today at 10 o'clock at Sims Library. I also want to remind folks that the National Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Well, we have a number of interesting news items that have come up for today. Several of them relate to the public school. In fact, this one is, I guess I'll start off with this one here. Fox News reported that Twisted Sister singer headlines a talent show. Now, this is just think public school here, and then think of the title. This guy is a rock band or whatever it is. Twisted Sister. Hamburg, Pennsylvania, school auditorium crowd roared as senior Greg Miller Jr.'s five-piece band let loose with We're Not Gonna Take It, and Twisted Sister frontman Dee Snider, who wrote the 1984 hit, bounded on stage to perform it with them. Snider agreed to go to the Hamburg Area High School talent show in rural eastern Pennsylvania after he heard administrators planned to bar student rock bands from performing fearing injuries from slam dancing. Snider, now a disc jockey on Philadelphia rock station WMMR-FM, ranted on the air about the controversy, and Miller got more than 200 students to sign in a petition against the amplified music ban. School officials changed their minds, which Snider called very cool. Students said no dangerous dancing was expected. Snider, who agreed a high school auditorium is no place for moshing, remember that word, helped arrange for a security company to work the Thursday night show. Video reporters from MTV and VH1 found their way to the school, and TV satellite trucks were set up in the parking lot. Snider danced around on the stage with the band, and about 20 other students had performed earlier, more than an hour after the show. He was still signing autographs and posing for pictures. Whether they go on to be musicians or not, they have learned a lesson about growing up in a small town, that big things can come out of a quiet, out-of-the-way area, he said. Oh, indeed. Now, of course, the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, Dr. John Coben, did not know what moshing meant. That was a word that it's not in my normal vocabulary, so I went to dictionary.com and I found one entry. It's not in all dictionaries, but it is in some, apparently. And here it is, mosh. This is from the American Heritage Dictionary for the English Language, 4th edition. Mosh, moshing or moshes, to knock against others intentionally while dancing at a rock concert, slam dance. And it's also a transitive verb, to knock against someone intentionally while dancing at a rock concert. Now the problem is, I guess that the reason I have not used this word or known about this word is, number one, I don't go to rock concerts, and number two, I don't dance at rock concerts, and number three, I don't smash into people or slam into people intentionally in general. So maybe you don't either. Now you know a word, so when you see other people behaving in this manner, you'll know that they're moshing, and you'll know what that means. Well, isn't this interesting? The public school is trying to bar some rock dancing. They're fearing people are going to slam into each other. They're going to mosh with each other. And so they were interested in stopping the practice. But the students, being that they are, of course, salt and light in their world. No. These of course, wouldn't be Christian students. Well, I wouldn't think so. But anyway, yes, the students petitioned the school board with the help of this rock and roll star from a Twisted Sister band, and they allow the moshing to continue, or not the moshing, they allow the rock amplified music to continue in public schools. Just another good reason, I guess, not to go to a public school or not to have your kids in a public school. This is the kind of people they're hanging around with when they go to such places. Okay, well, we have a couple stories about the Pope coming up. I want to remind people before I forget about the Institute on the Constitution. That's also occurring tonight at South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. The Institute on the Constitution. You're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Classes began on April 11th and will continue every Monday, and this will be the third Monday, for 12 weeks starting at 6:30 p.m. until 8 p.m. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney professor John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. Don't miss this opportunity to learn how America can recover its lost freedoms and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. Before you get there, also, folks, if you have an opportunity, go to the website, policyofliberty.net. That's my website, our website here for Christian Worldview. And you will scroll down to the Liberty Minute section and find a 46-minute presentation entitled Christian Views on Rebellion, Highlighting the American War for Independence. You need to listen to this before you go to these meetings at least once, because it's very helpful in setting a framework for the whole issue and debate about why Christians should have an interest in a public policy theology. So if you can, go to the website and download that file on Christian Views on Rebellion. It'll play on your CD player or your media player on your computer. Well worth listening to. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing that roughage for your brain this morning. A couple other interesting news stories that came up, or actually this one is just an article that appeared on LouRockwell.com. Excellent story. Most of the stuff you'll find at LouRockwell.com is tremendous. It's not going to be journalistic reporting, as you'll find in newspapers necessarily, but it's going to be a deeper commentary on many newsworthy items or many current events. And Mr. Norman Patterson had written a piece called A Foundation of Sand, I appreciate his work on this because I too have written about the evils of licensing marriages and how the whole so-called homosexual marriage and union movement is a product or got its launching pad from the idea that normal marriages, the God-ordained kind of marriages, were also being licensed by the state. He starts out the article by saying, many Christian leaders are rallying against the matter of homosexual marriage. They're working hard to try to prevent states from adopting laws allowing the state to issue marriage licenses to gays or lesbians to marry. While their motive is right, their understanding of the fundamental problem is incomplete. And he says, first of all, I agree with stating the Bible is against homosexuality and homosexuality marriage. However, being against the state-issued homosexual marriage license is built upon the assumption the state has the biblical right, power, and authority to issue licenses to get married. Furthermore, it begs the major question whether the state has the authority to bind anyone in holy matrimony. Where does the Bible give the state authority to grant licenses for marriage? Skipping down, he says, a state marriage license, be it homosexual or heterosexual, assumes the state has the right to give special permission to do something. That's what license means, by the way, special permission to do something. Were it not for the license, which could be legally prevented or give rise to legal action in tort or trespass? The state is granted no such power biblically. Marriage is not a state matter, but is an honorable estate instituted by God, signifying the mystical union which exists between Christ and his church. Skipping through the article some further, he says, for Christians to rally against homosexual marriage license is to admit the state has the right and authority over marriage. What biblical support is there for the state's authority over marriage? This is of vital importance. Pragmatism is no excuse for biblical truth and integrity. Christian leaders must begin to speak this truth. Once again, of course, the Tyranny Response Unit way ahead of the curve on this. Now it's starting to come out in other people's minds, and they're starting to make a big deal about common law marriage, trying to outlaw that here in South Carolina, and they're starting to write about this issue. I wrote about it months ago. Many people have also thought about it before me. I'm sort of jesting when I say that, but indeed we are talking about things which are of great importance in our day. We should not be fighting against the homosexual marriage licensing. We should be fighting against licensing in general. And once there is no more licensing by the state, then they won't be able to push on us their very queer agenda, pardon the pun, for trying to license marriages and give gays these special rights through or special privileges politically and economically through the licensing of their union, so to speak. He concludes his article by saying, homosexual marriage assumes the state can confer a civil right based upon citizenship and civil law. They assume the state's power and authority in defining licensing and joining in the marriage. I believe it is wrong to use their nomenclature. We either have the liberty given to us by God or we don't. The state's job is either to protect our liberty by punishing evildoers, evil defined by God's law and not civil law. Well, he's wrong about that, but anyway. Or it has the authority to confer civil rights on whomever it will. The state is either subservient to God's law or becomes a law unto itself. And, folks, I'd have to tell you, maybe I need to write to Mr. Patterson to let him know that the state has virtually always become a law unto itself. States, that's the nature of states. He continues, these are my thoughts upon the matter. I could say more about the link between state marriages and state incorporation of churches, but I won't. Going to Caesar concerning marriage license admits that he has the right power and authority over marriage. We must go deeper and look harder at this question biblically. The answer does not lie in bringing in the state to not redefine does not lie in begging the state to not redefine marriage. The answer is the restoration of biblical authority of the church and the family based upon the law of God. Well, in general, I agree with what he said. Of course, his presupposition at the end here that the state has some obligation to punish evildoers, evil being defined by God's law and not civil law, is precisely wrong. Because the state, in my view, does not obey the law of God. In Romans 13, which he's citing there, is talking about the state doing what it thinks is right and what it thinks is, and punishing those people who it thinks are wrong, not punishing those who God thinks are wrong. And I realize there is the theonomic perspective, which would say that in an idealized state, which we've really never seen before, you would have the state actually punishing people according to what God says is wrong and rewarding those who God thinks are good. And the government has this nexus, or this tie, I should say, the state has this tie with the church and with the kingdom of God. I don't think this is correct. I think it's more correct. I think it's the only correct way to interpret those passages, as Paul was writing something to Christians who lived under Nero. He was writing to people who actually suffered at the hands of this imperial Caesar, and as he did so, he was telling them, look, wake up, folks, guess what? Here's an evil state. You got this guy Nero. He breaks all the commandments, perhaps. We know that he broke, well, I think we have evidence that he broke every one of them. He was a vicious, murderous thug, and he promoted those people who agreed with his ideals, who were idolaters, who were adulterers, murderers, thieves, etc. He rewarded those people. That's what he did. He gave them political appointments to give them their reward. But the others, he considered evildoers, like Christians, who were doing good in God's sight because he hated what was good. And what we find is, indeed, the state is the greatest proponent of evil, chaos, and destruction in the history of the world. So states are the last thing you want to trust with something, especially something that's non-biblical, like marriage licensing. At any rate, we appreciate his perspective other than that, because he's right on the money in saying that, Patterson's right on the money in saying the state should have nothing to do with licensing marriages. I've already said it myself. It's in writing on the policyofliberty.net website. You can go there and see it for yourself if you wish. Scroll down the articles and papers link, and you'll see those writings there. We appreciate you listening to Christian Worldview this morning. Just a reminder, another little event coming up, Confederate Memorial Day. Come and honor those who wore the gray, Saturday, April 30th, 2 p.m. at Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina, sponsored by the Lawrence Breyer's Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029 for Confederate Memorial Day in Clinton on April 30th. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. 844-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
At least unless your name is Jeb Bush, governor of South Carolina. He says the Pope will further freedom. The Associated Press is reporting from Rome that President Bush is looking to Pope Benedict to provide some kind of moral leadership as the spectacular papacy of John Paul II, the president's brother said Saturday. Florida government Governor Jeb Bush, leading the U.S. delegation to Sunday's installation of the new pontiff, told reporters that the president's three personal encounters with the late John Paul and his presence at the Pope's funeral were a recognition by the White House of the importance of the need for a moral voice in world affairs. I know that my brother looks forward to developing the same kind of relationship with Pope Benedict XVI, and so and doing so, I think, advance the cause of social justice, freedom, and democracy around the world, Jeb Bush said. So Jeb Bush apparently believes that the Pope is going to further democracy, freedom, and social justice. Well, of course, we're not really in favor of democracy, are we? Constitutional republic is a good thing to be in favor of. So if the Pope promotes democracy, that's not a very good thing. But I think Jeb Bush probably doesn't know the difference between a constitutional republic and a democracy, and so maybe that's what he meant. But even if he did, the other two things he's commenting on, that this that popes actually advance the cause of social justice and freedom, is a very questionable and dubious statement, because popes are not in favor of limiting government necessarily, of free markets. They're not in necessarily in favor of freedom in the Jeffersonian sense. So whatever ideals that Jeb Bush apparently has for this pope are vastly misguided, at least from a libertarian or constitutionalist perspective. Also, what does he mean by social justice? Does he actually mean that the pope will help advance the thoughts about redistributive programs that take from one class of people and give to another? Sure sounds like it. At least that's what these social justice phraseology usually means elsewhere when we hear it. So there we have it. Jeb Bush being groomed to be the next president, perhaps, or as the dynasty would continue. Jeb Bush, who's continuing his ploys or his little foibles in the state of Florida, here talking about his admiration for the Pope, of all people. Of course, the Pope, one of the leaders of the greatest false religions in the history of the world. We oppose it here on Christian Worldview. He is not the friend of the church by any means. Well, this article came out of American Medical News just recently. It's a publication of the American Medical Association. It says this on page one of this week's edition. Cultural competency, now law in New Jersey. Other states may follow in trying cultural competency training to licensure. Some doctors say mandates are the wrong way to go. Physicians who want to obtain a medical license or be relicensed in New Jersey must take cultural competency training under a new law intended to help reduce healthcare disparities among racial and ethnic minorities. Legislators and medical leaders say they believe New Jersey is the first state to pass a law requiring physicians to learn how to be culturally attuned to patients who to be licensed to practice medicine. But Arizona, California, Illinois, and New York are considering similar bills that call for physicians and medical students to take courses to raise cultural awareness and sensitivity toward minority patients, according to the Federation of State Medical Boards. Leaders in both medicine licensure and licensure say that the measures signal a trend that states want to take greater steps to reduce healthcare disparities and ensure that physicians are more responsive to both cultural and language differences among their patients. What all this says is that there is an appreciation that the population in our country is changing and evolving, and that means as healthcare practitioners, we have to change also to meet the needs of that population. Said Dale Austin, Chief Operating Officer and Senior Vice President of the Texas-based Federation. Of course, not everybody is really happy about this. Physicians already have a lot to do with being licensed, and this is a very horrible thing in general to have these kind of requirements on there, especially when it's some politically correct nonsense like cultural sensitivity or political correctness. But that is indeed happening, so physicians beware. They're after you again, the liberals trying to make inroads into your practice, into your way of life, into your ability just to have a job. Of course, we realize that there is a monopoly benefit of having a license, and so licensing in and of itself is not a great thing. So it's sort of like the dog that that you've been feeding is biting you back now, unfortunately, but it is a shame to see it happening. Again, you're listening to Christian Worldview, and we have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview. Who are we speaking with?
Nelson.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. and Bob.
Good morning, Nelson.
Good show. Good show, as usual. Couple of things I wanted to butt in on, if I may. Your remarks about the Pope are quite accurate, in my opinion. I think whenever we hear a politician, you know, the old saying, how can you tell when a politician's lying, when his lips are moving? That certainly applies to any member of the Bush family, because really, whatever they say, in particular, among all the politicians, you can, in my opinion, believe the exact opposite almost 100% of the time.
Yes.
And here he goes, uttering words of worship and adulation for the chief conehead. When was the last time? With liberalism, everything is its complete opposite, and therefore somebody who is a total non-entity or merely symbolic figure gets all the worship, all the praise, all the media hysteria, and in this case, the Pope had a moral or topical value of almost 20, maybe 15 on a good day, and yet he is the one they point to as the bellwether of moral progress on planet Earth. They're crediting him with the fall of communism. Do you ever remember him mentioning communism in his whole 20-odd year reign?
Well, if he did, I think it was in a positive vein. I think he probably liked a lot of the social justice that was achieved by communist regimes.
When a liberal mentions the phrase, which is the only instance in which it's allowed to see the light of day in the mass media or whatever, what it really means is fighting so-called racism or so-called financial inequity and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
I'm a church musician by trade, and I've had the notable displeasure of being involved in several Catholic parochial school commencements. The bishop comes and makes a speech, and the only sin that he warns the young people about is racism. Hmm. It's the only one that exists in churches nowadays. And tolerance is the only alleged virtue that's ever encouraged or preached on.
Yes. Now, these are excellent comments. I agree entirely on that. Now, Nelson, we've come up to our 8 o'clock break. Can you hold on, or would you like to hold on through the break?
I'll hold, yes. Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back into Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. A chilly, chilly 36 degrees outside. It's only going to get up to about 66 today, but that's not really that bad considering how cold it's starting for a late April morning. Really a very unusual cold weather pattern. So if you're making your way out the door for work today, be sure to be prepared for a little bit of nip in the air, and it's going to get a little warmer with clear skies in the afternoon, but we're certainly starting out cold. Also wanted to remind you that this evening at South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina, there will be the Institute on the Constitution. This is a great meeting that began a couple of Mondays ago, and this is the third Monday out of 12 that it'll be going on from 6:30 till 8 p.m. You're cordially invited to attend, join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's 864-269-1443. And before you go, be sure to visit the policyofliberty.net website. Scroll down to the Liberty Minutes section and find the recorded piece that you can listen to on your PC entitled Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. It's an excellent primer for you to listen to before you attend these meetings on the Institute for the Constitution. Go ahead to the website and listen to that 46-minute presentation. Actually, it's just me reading several articles that have been presenting in the Times Examiner. There'll be great preparation for the meeting tonight at 6:30. Also, immediately following the show, not immediately following the show, but at 10 o'clock this morning in Greenville, the Americans for Constitutional Government will have their monthly meeting at Sims Library on Pelham Road in Greenville. Be sure to attend this meeting as well if you want to stay informed on national as well as local topics of interest. And you're going to have various subjects that you may even just find disagreeable. I don't know. Maybe not. We do hear some there when I go that are a little bit disagreeable because Republicans show up or some liberal candidates. But nevertheless, it's always good to do and now and then rub elbows with the live creatures from the other side of things, the neocons of the world and so forth. You can find all that and a lot of encouraging news and a lot of good folks who attend the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. Again, I'll try to be there. Let me know if you do come and you heard it on the radio that you heard it on the air here on Christian Worldview. Sims Library, 10 o'clock till noon today here in Greenville. Well, Nelson's been patiently waiting on the line here, having another comment. We welcome you back to Christian Worldview, Nelson. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. Yes, patiently waiting to go on pontificating.
Yes. But not moshing, I trust, yeah. But not moshing, I trust.
During the break, and it is just one of the most ultimate manifestations of the sickness of youth self-destruction in this age.
Yes.
This is where young folks go all the way up to the front of the audience of the rock concert, and they've got a kit there. I guess it's the orchestra kit when they're having a normal music concert there. And they simply slam into each other. That's what they do. They get all in a group, they huddle, and they slam together, and they
make out their frustrations in the form of the bruising and in some cases injuring and spraining themselves and others. And it's something that is very, very emblematic of our whole self-destructive age, but typically does not get any mention in the mass media, which are supposedly so concerned about our welfare, you know.
Yes.
Let me comment also on the matter of race and ethnic sensitivity and medical work. I think we both know what that phrase is a euphemism for in this case. Excuse me. You know, we've been told all our lives that there is no difference between one race and the next apart from skin color. Excuse me. And I am not going to sit here and make a case for racial superiority in any direction. That is not my want at all. But, pardon me. I want the world to know what they're really getting at is the fact of very real somatic, that is, physical differences between the races, very profound ones, very systemic ones that medicine has to deal with on a daily basis, and which it reports quite calmly in its more erudite medical journals when it thinks it's sufficiently far from the public. But in a way, this all puts to the lie, the big lie that we're all the same beneath the skin.
Yes.
And this is an important fact of our age which simply needs to be faced if we are going to survive. There's another key survival fact, and it's another one of those that the liberal establishment is the most squeamish about and the most anxious for us never to learn or relearn or realize.
Yes, this is a good point. In fact, a black economist, Walter Williams, I remember in class, would tell us a number of stories like this. And he was just right up front. He said, look, you know, there's a difference between blacks and whites, for instance. Blacks, for instance, are natural sinkers. They never win swimming contests because they just don't swim as well. However, they've got a longer femur bone, and this allows them to jump better, and you know, on average, will play better at basketball. And he went through a number of sports that he identified as one race having a superior advantage than another. By the way, it doesn't extend only to race, Nelson. It's also to gender. There's supposedly nothing different except, you know, the perhaps the outward shape of the body between a male and a female, and people are just perplexed and dismayed at why women prefer to go into these kinds of occupations like teaching and nursing that men traditionally do not go into, although there's nothing wrong with it, I suppose, them doing either. At any rate, they see men harboring around sciences and engineering, more mathematical or logical disciplines, and they blame that on some kind of conspiracy by men. And this is absolutely preposterous. There's an economic reason, as well as probably a physiological or emotional reason, why women choose the occupations they choose. For the most part, women have a keen interest in raising children and having children. And as Walter would say, they like those kinds of careers where they can exit and enter back in quite quickly without a lot of retraining. Teaching, accounting, nursing are good examples. Whereas if they were to be an engineer or to do something that would constantly require updating their information, it would be more difficult for them to go out and come back into the workforce. So he explained it that way, just from an economist's point of view. Yet the liberals try to force people to accept either different races or different genders by requiring math departments, for instance, to hire a certain number of blacks or a certain number of Native Americans or Indians and a certain number of women. This worked against them recently, and that's absurd, by the way. It ends up being that they'll go and pick anybody, the worst possible candidate, just to fill some quota. And they'll go over and pass by many well-qualified whites or males or whatever. Our own Dr. Stephen Yates, up here in the upstate, was discriminated against, he said, because he was an evangelical and a libertarian. And because he called himself a minority class, he used affirmative action to get his latest teaching post, as I understand. Because he was, yes, he actually used that against the left.
Whites are not as dumb as we used to be.
Yes, I think so. But listen, Nelson, we're coming up against, believe it or not, another break. We've talked so much this morning.
Okay.
Really appreciate the call.
Good chatting with you, Doctor. Talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling, Nelson. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Don't forget the Confederate Memorial Day is coming up. Come and honor those who wore the gray Saturday, April the 30th at 2 p.m. in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. For information or detail, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. in the weekday during the week, 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029 for information on Confederate Memorial Day on April 30th in Clinton, South Carolina. Another interesting story. This one came up with News with Views this morning from Shane Ellison called "False Advertising of OxyContin." Now we've been talking about some medical news earlier in the broadcast, and we can probably continue now and discuss this one as well. False marketing of overtly addictive drugs is performed daily without consequence. Purdue Pharma Limited LP, makers of the highly addictive OxyContin, has made this clear. According to the Food and Drug Administration, Purdue Pharma circulated false direct-to-consumer advertising through their endorsements of OxyContin in the world's most prestigious medical journal, the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA. The Division of Drug Marketing, Advertising, and Communications of the FDA sent a letter to Purdue Pharma stating that they were in a clear violation of FDA regulations. Their violation, making up substantiated claims of the effectiveness and grossly overstating the safety profile of OxyContin while promoting it for obtaining a life with relief. Despite Purdue Pharma's noncompliance with the law, FDA did not press charges. As a result, their false marketing continues. Putting wealth before health, Purdue Pharma distributed 15,000 copies of an OxyContin video to physicians without submitting it to the FDA for review. Entitled "I Got My Life Back," presents patients in pain tell their story. The video presented pain relief experiences of various patients and their pain medications, including OxyContin, they had been prescribed. FDA regulations require pharmaceutical manufacturers submit all promotional materials for approval for approved prescription drug products to the FDA at the time of their initial use. Purdue Pharma did not comply. Purdue and the FDA acknowledged the oversight of not submitting the video for FDA approval. No action was taken. Releasing a second version of the video, Purdue Pharma followed legal procedure by submitting it to the FDA for review. Though in its report to Congress, the U.S. General Accounting Office stated the FDA failed to review the video. Interesting. So they sent it to him, but they didn't even watch it. Later, it was discovered that, like the first video, more have substantiated claims and minimized the risks associated with taking OxyContin. Most astounding, Purdue Pharma claimed that OxyContin had been shown to cause addiction in less than 1% of patients, which seems a lie. Recognize the dangers of OxyContin. The Drug Enforcement Agency has listed OxyContin as a Schedule II controlled substance in the USA. During the same period of the last decade or so, since its release on the market, the number of OxyContin-related deaths has skyrocketed by 400%. Currently, OxyContin is the number one prescribed Schedule II narcotic in the United States. Exactly how OxyContin works in the body is not understood, but its dangers are well documented. OxyContin is an opiate against narcotic, which possesses powerful addictive properties. These addictive properties are akin to heroin and morphine and know no boundaries of destruction. Its addictive nature can smother even the strongest of wills. False advertising is the number one tool used by drug companies to turn perfectly healthy people into patients. Oh. While the FDA has acknowledged Purdue Pharma's indiscretions by acting as a paper tiger, it has done nothing to ameliorate it. They have failed as the self-proclaimed custodians for national health. Well, since I am not a physician, I can't comment on the veracity of whether or not Ellison's claims are right about this drug. But I will say this much. It does show us that the FDA is a complete failure, if true. And why people would even want the FDA to regulate drugs is beyond me. Because these folks at the FDA, if indeed they're allowing these false drugs to come through and bad drugs and people to be hurt by them, needs to be out of business. We do not need an FDA. You see, what would happen in the free market if we had nothing required for these drug companies to do anything to prove the veracity of their claims, is that people would be able to sue them for tort or for even a crime, even charge them with a crime, if they were to put a bad drug on the market and mass produce it with false advertising as they've done. This would be possible, but it's not under the FDA regulation because they have their own internal measures they'll use against the drug company. And in this particular case, apparently, the FDA is taking no action whatsoever. They're allowing them just skirt on by. So here we have a problem with government regulation. Not only do they not regulate well the drugs or allow the number of drugs that are necessary to get through every year, when somebody does something wrong, and apparently this may be the case here with this OxyContin drug, they're not punishing the evildoers. They're, in fact, rewarding them by allowing them to continue on. So perhaps a physician can call in and give us some more information on the veracity of the claims regarding or against OxyContin itself. But one thing we see that shines to me in this article is that that false marketing is not a result of what happens in the free market, but a result of what happens primarily under a system of regulation that is corrupted and boneheaded like the FDA. That's not to say you won't have snake oil salesmen, folks, if we are in the free market. We realize that that will occur. But what we are suggesting here on Christian Worldview is that you have more when the state is involved with regulating an industry. It's worse under state, even though in a sinful world it's bad without any regulation by government at all. It's still bad. We realize that. I'm just saying it gets worse. Interesting comments about this OxyContin. Perhaps you have, again, a comment or question about that. Love to hear about it because, not being a physician, I don't know much about this category two drug. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we're going to be going up to a quick break here shortly. Just want to remind you quickly before I do, pick up a copy of the Times Examiner. You can read some excellent stories and works by me, the Tyranny Response Unit there, as well as other great columnists like Dr. Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Ben Graydon, Pat Buchanan, Joe Sobren, Charlie Reese. They're all in the Times Examiner. Pick up the phone and call 864-268-0576, 864-268-0576, and talk to Bob Diller, Laverle, and they'll set you up a subscription. $25 a year is all it costs, $27 a year. Out of state, Christian Exodus folks, take note. Everybody should have this paper coming to their doorsteps and keep apprised of what's going on here in the upstate. Again, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. We have a caller on the line, a physician. We'd like to welcome you to the show. Are you there?
Commenting about OxyContin.
Okay, well, tell us about OxyContin. Is it really as bad a drug, and do you think that it's useful to be prescribed? And also, you might comment on whether you think the pharmaceutical company, Purdue Pharma, is actually evil.
Well, OxyContin is the long-acting formula of a drug, oxycodone. It's been around a very long time. Like multiple other narcotics, it is extremely addictive, but all narcotics are addictive, from morphine to hydrocodone, Lortab, as a lot of people call it. That, to me, seems one of the most addictive around this area. Codeine, they all have addictive properties. Its use is for chronic pain. For example, someone with cancer who has chronic pain. It's a long-acting medication, so you don't get the goal is so you don't have periods of pain, then you take a pill and wait for it to kick in. You want to have pain control 24 hours a day. So it's got its excellent purposes in that regard.
I suppose if you're in pain, it's really important to not be in pain. But wouldn't this also relate to, like, medical marijuana and stuff like that? I mean, what's the difference really between OxyContin and smoking pot? I mean, it's just another way to alleviate
pain. It's a different type of pain medicine. Pot is more of a euphoric narcotics affects the pain receptor. An interesting thing is the government is cracking down on prosecuting physicians for not controlling pain.
Huh.
Because they're getting their license, but they're getting fined because they're not doing adequate control of pain. And yet, then they have all this other kind of stuff, too, with this OxyContin. But, Purdue Pharmaceuticals made this drug into a long-acting formula. They've made a lot of money on it, I'm sure, because it's the first time this particular drug has come out in this type of formula. Morphine has been long-acting for a long period of time. There's other things like fentanyl patches and stuff, but an OxyContin is getting some advertising, and people are prescribing it. And yes, people are abusing it. But people abuse many things. They get it out on the streets. They steal it from their mother or whatever. But
okay, so OxyContin, yeah, it has side effects. What this guy said in the article you were saying is that it really does have these bad side effects, but so do all other narcotics, and people who are in pain just prefer to take it rather than be in pain, and so it's not necessarily a bad drug, you're saying.
It allows them to function. If they're in such bad pain they can't even get out of bed, you know, it allows them to be able to function, be able to work, be with their family while they're dying from cancer. So it has its uses, just like everything has its uses. Every medication you take, whether it be an aspirin over the counter, whether it be Tylenol, whether it be OxyContin, has a side effect. That's the choice we take when we take medication.
Well, I have to.
Choices are like, was it Michael Moore? Was all medications be taken off the market? Fine. But you want to live what they do in Africa? I've been there. I mean, they don't have any medicines and they die young.
Well, Well, all I can say is when I had my kidney stone, my personal physician was quick to stick something in my arm that gave me some kind of drug that made it feel a whole lot better. I've never been in so much pain before when you have a kidney stone, and I was very happy that we had these drugs. I'll have to admit that. Just me. Now, I'm not one to abuse drugs or to enjoy the consumption of drugs, but I sure wanted to consume them right then. I can only feel that I imagine other people would feel the same way when they're in pain as well.
A pain that would never go away, and that will be to the end of your life, your death.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate the phone call this morning, and glad that you joined the show to give us some enlightened information about the use of this drug. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay. Always glad to have good callers on the show to give us more information, especially to give the Tyranny Response Unit information when he just doesn't know something. And believe me, there's a lot of things that I don't know, and I have a lot of these areas about medicine. And this morning I did not know what moshing was. You see, I just haven't been attending rock concerts and slamming into people and spraining my ankle and trying to do so and so forth. Apparently other people practice this. I only wish they'd practice moshing on government agents. It seemed to me the most effective thing you could possibly do. Sounds like football practice without the pads. You're just going to slam into people. Well, those political actors might be pretty small relative to some of the moshers we might get. We might be able to mosh them right out of office or mosh them to Greenland or something like that. I am still for exiling, as long as it's exiling government agents, and I think Greenland's a wonderful spot that we might send the Bush dynasty, as a matter of fact. Any rate, you might agree with that, you might disagree. Be sure to give us a call at 864-244-8177. That's our main phone number now. You can also try our backup line if you can't get through, and that's at 864-201-6955. Also, don't forget that we receive questions and comments by email. You can send them to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Other stories in the news, we have a Gun Owners of America email alert that came out recently. It says, you may have heard the firestorm over John Bolton. He's a State Department official who's now been nominated to be the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. He's a surprising choice, really. Bolton is an unashamedly pro-gun. he has gone up to bat for gun owners in the Second Amendment and has not hesitated to look foreign tyrants in the eye while giving them the classic from my cold, dead finger speech. In 2001, Bolton defended American gun owners by stating our country would impose any UN effort to regulate non-military firearms or any effort that would abrogate the constitutional right to bear arms. Because of his stand, Bolton is credited with destroying any hope other nations had of achieving a consensus on gun control. The media around the world was outraged. We want to be thankful for this man, Bolton. Skipping down through this piece from Gun Owners, it says, Bolton spearheaded the U.S. opposition to the International Criminal Court, declaring that the day he signed the letter withdrawing the U.S. signature on the treaty was the happiest moment of my government service. He's been proven under fire, and his record speaks volumes regarding his commitment to the Constitution. Again, until we are successful in removing the United States from the global organization, we can only hope that our ambassador there treasures the interests of the United States over global community and values our Constitution and Bill of Rights as well. John Bolton is just that man. Interesting enough that we do have a few gun nuts, that is pro-gun people, out there in the state that make their way through. They don't always last long, and it seems like gun rights have been eroding, haven't they? We haven't really had any gains back of gun rights that have been lost. Nevertheless, we'd like to give credit where credit's due, and in this case, we'd like to credit with Gun Owners of America, Mr. John Bolton. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we do welcome you back this morning to Christian Worldview. This is the beginning of the 15th week of the Tyranny Response Network and the program Christian Worldview. Right now in Greenville, South Carolina, it's 44 degrees. It was only 36 when the show started. Really chilly. It's going to get all the way up to 66 degrees today. So if you're just making your way out to work, you might want to have a light jacket for the morning. But it will warm up a little bit. Still far colder than it should be for this time of year here in Greenville. Actually, I said it should be than it normally is. It should be whatever temperature it is, because that's where God set it to be. That's part of the Christian worldview, believing that everything that comes to pass has actually been ordained by God. Without that view, we don't have much of a life, because we live in a world of chance and misery without any goodness directing things whatsoever to any of his purposes. But we don't believe that here. We hold to an omniscient view of God and an all-powerful God who directs the world in providence. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. That's 864-642-4315. Visit Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneer broadcasting work. Also want to remind folks that the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting will occur today at Sims Library on Pelham Road between I-85 and Hudson. The Americans for Constitutional Government meets every fourth Monday of the month, and is a great opportunity for you to meet like-minded people and also hear speakers on various topics of local and national interest. I'm probably going to be there myself today at 10 o'clock, if I can, Lord willing, and I would encourage you to do the same. If you can be away from work for a little while, even if we're just part of the meeting, I think you should come. You'll be glad that you did. Also this evening, one final reminder on today's show, the Institute on the Constitution at 6:30 this evening, going till 8 o'clock in Pelzer, South Carolina at 203 Ina Marie Lane. That's the South Point Baptist Church. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's 269-1443 in the 864 area code for information to register. They have a 30-minute video lecture by Dr. John Eidsmo, and then conversation after that, questions and answers about the Constitution. And they say you're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and the ratification of the Constitution of the United States. We've been talking about gun control here and a number of other things on the show, as well as illicit drugs, marriage licensing, or homosexual marriage. I'm going to pick up some of those themes again. One of our researchers pulled up from the NRA Did You Know piece, the National Rifle Association, about violent crime. Without gun registration and gun owner licensing, the nation's violent crime rate has decreased every year since 1991, is now at a 27-year low. Also, deaths due to firearm accidents have been decreasing substantially without gun registration and gun owner licensing. Excuse me. Gun owner licensing. While those due to motor vehicle accidents have not decreased despite vehicle registration and driver licensing. Interesting points. So you have more licensing and more registration responsibility, more regulation of cars. So then you have vehicle accidents rising. Interesting anecdotal evidence. While gun registration and gun owner licensing decreases, and you have fewer problems with violent crime or accidents as a result of guns. Appreciate those little anecdotal tidbits. They are food for thought. Guns for defensive purposes. Each year, the United States guns are used 3 to 5 times as often for defensive purposes as for criminal purposes. This is from Gary Kleck, Targeting Guns, Firearms, and Their Control. So each year in the United States, guns are used 3 to 5 times as often for defensive purposes as for criminal purposes. Interesting quotation from that 1997 book by Gary Kleck. Also, we have Brady's Law's effect is discounted. Here's some excerpts from the Washington Post copyrighted article, Brady's Law's effect is discounted. August 20th, 2000. This is actually an older article, but interesting to read at this point, by Guy Gugliotta. He says, a provocative new study published yesterday, and it concludes that the 1994 Brady Law restricting handgun purchases has had no effect on firearm homicide and suicide rates in states that previously had looser controls. Homicide rates in the United States surged steadily, even precipitously, between 1985 and 1993, the biggest spike coming in 1991. Yale University researcher John Lott concluded in his book, More Guns, Less Crime, that the Brady Law is not a factor in reducing gun crime. In my research, the four most effective things are arrest rates, conviction rates, prison sentences, and the death penalty. That seems to make some sense. Note, the Brady Law was effective by some measure. If the Brady Law was effective by some measure, you would expect to see gun crime drop much more than the same crime type where gun was not used. Yet crime is down in most categories with or without guns. Adjusting for the overall drop in crime and not finding measurable differences indicates that the Brady Law's effectiveness is minimal, if anything. Interesting that we can read that today. Appreciate our excellent research staff here at the Tyranny Response Network being able to find these little tidbits of information from gun owners, the National Rifle Association, this Kleck book as well, as this article from the Washington Post some time ago. Fascinating stuff. We're going to talk about the Confederacy of the Determined in a moment. Before we do, we're going to take a break, but I'm also going to remind you before we go to the break that Confederate Memorial Day is coming up Saturday, April 30th at 2 p.m. at Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029 to find out more about Confederate Memorial Day coming up on April 30th in Clinton, South Carolina. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The Washington Times had a story also by Christiana Bellantoni called The Confederacy of the Determined from the Metropolitan section just recently. Southern Heritage Bus vowed to use the Virginia gubernatorial election as a platform for designating April as Confederate History Month and Heritage Month. That's right. This is Confederate History and Heritage Month. That's why we have Confederate Memorial Day and other things going on, and why we read so many stories about Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and many of the other Southern causes here this month on Christian Worldview. The four candidates for governor have differing views on whether to pay official state homage to the Confederacy, an issue that has been debated for years in the Commonwealth. Many Virginia governors honored the Civil War or the Confederacy. Governor Mark Warner, a Democrat, has refused to issue gubernatorial decree on either side of the Civil War. At the state's annual Shad Planking political gathering last Wednesday, Sons of Confederate Veterans volunteers passed out stickers that read, "I support Confederate History Month," which many of the nearly 3,000 attendees put beside political campaign stickers. Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Ohio, and Texas celebrate Confederate History and Heritage Month. Why don't they in South and North Carolina? Interesting question. Or Alabama, for that matter. Were such great states in the Confederacy, or missing Tennessee here too. I mean, you got to be a true Southern if you're from Tennessee or Virginia. Talk about carnage and destruction and fighting all the battles on your territory. Those two places really suffered. Of course, Georgia, have to mention them too, since they took the brunt of Sherman after Atlanta fell. But interesting enough to read about these items. Republicans, of course, are more in favor of this up north for whatever reason in Virginia right now. I say up north, north from South Carolina. They had alienated, however, especially Attorney General Mark Earley, alienated the Heritage community by refusing to honor the Confederacy, and of course he lost many votes in his gubernatorial race because of it. Well, we remember the Confederacy here on the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. It was our second American Revolution. It was a war for independence, a war for freedom, and it was lost, and we've been suffering ever since as a result of the Lincolnites and all his cronies and his protege, and for all of those who have come down the same line of reasoning that Abraham Lincoln had from that time on, including scoundrels, absolute scoundrels like those during Reconstruction, those who formed the Federal Reserve, the so-called phony income tax law, or amendment to the Constitution number 16, as well as Woodrow Wilson and his United Nations and Franklin Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson and their great welfare programs. When I say great, I mean huge and not good in any way or another. At any rate, homosexuals losing 2004 gains in marriages by Cheryl Wetstein, The Washington Times. A recent Oregon Supreme Court decision to nullify about 3,000 same-sex marriages, along with a similar ruling last year in California, means that of all the nearly 7,300 weddings, so-called, conducted in 2004 outside Massachusetts, are void. Court decisions in California and Oregon establish that local government officials do not have the power to change statewide law, Mr. Staver said last week. The California decision rendered last summer voided about 4,200 same-sex marriages, quote-unquote, conducted in San Francisco. Dozens of same-sex marriages in New York and New Mexico and New Jersey were also ruled invalid. Since 2004, first legal same-sex marriage licenses were issued in the United States on May 17th. A Massachusetts court went into effect despite legal challenges from conservative groups, and thousands of homosexual couples have since married in that state. Homosexual rights groups, however, see a bright side of the 2004 marriage spree. I think the American public is engaged in discussion and dialogue about how to treat same-sex couples and their families under state law, and that is a good conversation to have, said Seth Kilborn, National Field Director for the Human Rights Campaign. And we should also remember that the significance of Connecticut, the same that they're also moving in this direction, as we read and reported to you here on Christian Worldview last week. Anyway, very interesting stuff. I wonder what the divorce rate among these homosexual couples is going to be, or if they're going to have a redefinition of things like adultery now, at least in the marital context. Could be very interesting. I wonder if you can abandon your spouse if you're a homosexual couple. Maybe they just don't care about any of these things. They probably don't. I'm being rather facetious here, folks. The problem we have is that we have state licensing of marriage at all. The state should have no business with marriage licensing and marriage whatsoever. Then we wouldn't run into these ridiculous problems of licensing homosexuals and having these rather queer alliances continuing on. They're absolutely disgusting practice. At any rate, lots of sins are disgusting. We're not saying that homosexuals can't be saved here on Christian Worldview. In fact, we do believe that they can be saved. I've said that many times on the program. If you are a homosexual, you're tuning in and you're outraged by what I've had to say, I would encourage you to look to Jesus Christ and His Word for salvation and turn to Him in repentance and in faith, because this is your only true hope. There is no hope for you to continue on in a lifestyle that opposes God and His ways. And what we're opposed to primarily, not only the moral character here on Christian Worldview, but that when public, in terms of public policy, when we have a government involvement that creates special rights for any class and privileges granted to any class through licensing of any institution, especially one ordained by God, like marriage, then we are opposed to that. We are fighting against that because it is anti-liberty, and anyone who loves liberty should be against homosexual marriage licensing as well as heterosexual marriage licensing, too. Well, moving right along here, I have this article that the research staff sent in, and they thought this would be interesting from an environmental standpoint, environmentalism doctrine standpoint. Wrecks off the past litter Hawaii's ocean floor. From the Nation and Politics section, I believe this is it's just the Associated Press. Honolulu, the junked trucks to World War II submarines, fast fields of far-flung wreckage litter the sands beneath the blue-green ocean of Hawaii. It is like an obstacle course underwater, especially at Pearl Harbor, said John Smith, science program director at the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory. Finding the more interesting artifacts is a real challenge. A World War II-era Japanese submarine scuttled by the U.S. Navy is the laboratory's latest significant find among thousands of wrecks, most of them from the past two centuries. The ship is one of two I-400 Sensuken Toku-class subs captured in the Pacific a week after Japan surrendered in 1945. Both subs were deliberately sunk and by the military when Russian scientists demanded access to them. The 400-foot-long hulks were the largest built before the nuclear ballistic missile subs in the 1960s. In 2002, the waters off Oahu also yielded Japanese midget submarines that was hit by the 12 hours before Japan's aerial attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. These are incredibly valuable archaeological sites, said John Wiltshire, acting director of the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory. Sometimes in the marine environment, you can preserve things you can't preserve on land. The value of Hawaii's undersea wreckage is historical rather than monetary. Hawaii's shipping boom began in the 1800s, well after piracy's heyday in the late 1600s to mid-1700s. Most cargo ships navigating the island chain in the 19th century carried goods that would have disintegrated by now, such as sugar, lumber, phosphate, sandalwood, and fur, said Rick Rogers, who has written several books on Hawaii's shipwrecks. Treasure hunters scouring the Hawaiian ocean bottom for doubloons or pieces of eight are more likely to find submarines, old whaling and merchant ships, fishing boats, or 20th century recreational craft and land vehicles. Undersea artifacts in shallower waters actually can benefit the environment, serving as sturdy skeletons for thriving undersea habitats. The Mahi, a scuttled Navy minesweeper off the Waianae coast, has grown into a 190-foot artificial reef that is home to coral, scorpionfish, pufferfish, tigerfish, eels, and magnificent eel rays. The 100-foot landing craft utility ship nearby houses two timid white-teeth reef sharks that flee when divers approach. Marine life tends to like these wrecks because they are nooks and crannies to hide in, Mr. Wilkshire said. So there you have it. The environment is benefited by war in the long run. interesting point here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just a bit over for our break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And why not conclude today's show with something really controversial off of the LouRockwell.com site? I say really controversial between us who tend to be either libertarian or true conservative in our political convictions. LouRockwell.com has an article entitled, "Should We Buy American? Should We Buy American?" This talk was prepared for a Christian businessman's luncheon at the First National Bank in Lansing, Michigan, April 19th, 2005. Interesting comments here. Some of the most vociferous, that means loud, attacks on free trade in recent years have come from religious lobbies and are led by people who believe that they have the best interests of workers in mind. They do all of these things under the conviction that to limit the right to buy and sell is part of the mission of spreading the social gospel. Actually, what they're doing is raising prices of consumer products, harming opportunities for workers to find good employment, hindering growth of economies in the developing world, and inadvertently serving as foot soldiers for the mercantilist interest group that seek to shield themselves from more efficient but foreign competitors. What an excellent summary as far as I'm concerned. That's a tremendous way to look at protectionism, and I agree 100%. It may not be, by all means, tell us if you don't and why you don't. Be prepared, though, with a good answer if you have that position. Time and resources were scarce, but God did not leave the human population with no means to overcome new limits on what could be consumed. God made it possible for the human population to use its intelligence to exchange. And exchange, he's going on this article to tell us, is basically a God-given feature of human existence that allows us to better our lives. And thus was born the concept of free trade, the true free trade. We're not talking about the free trade scam that comes on nowadays through CAFTA and NAFTA and the FTAA. These don't have anything to do with free trade. These have to do with globalism and socialism. They're just hijacking a perfectly good word that's been used by economists for years. And don't misunderstand these remarks. Nowadays, free trade, just like Orwellian doublespeak, means actually socialism, government control, and so forth. Didn't used to mean that. Just like the word gay used to mean something entirely different than it does now. Continuing on this article, they might have demanded that instead, for traveling from afar, that the wise men might have been socially conscious enough to buy Bethlehem. Another good comment in here. Such an attitude is completely alien to biblical times, that these environmental, or these so-called social gospel type people have, where the need to overcome poverty through trade, it was everywhere understood. People knew the value of trade at that time. The right to labor to accept or refuse work and the future of vision of those workers who complain about the terms of their after the fact. There was no talk then about fair wages. The lesson that was taught rests in the right of owner to make his own decisions through contracts. Again, we can imagine, he continues, what the social gospel autarkists would say about this situation. They would probably advocate nationalizing the vineyard and then unionizing the workers, who would then promptly strike for shorter hours and higher wages and benefits all around. But this is not the path to prosperity. It is a path to conflict and war. And I have to agree wholeheartedly with that when Rockwell writes this. It is simply not a good idea to restrict trade and have barriers. I heard even on TRN, someone on one of the recorded shows later in the day, advocating that, you know, in the modern world, you just can't have free trade. You've got to have some protectionism. In the Constitution, there were tariffs, they say. The Constitution also has a post office. It has several other errors in it because people just didn't understand. It's not an infallible document. It's not inspired by God. The fact that there were tariffs then does not mean there should be tariffs now. And protectionism, although it seems to give short-run benefits to a few groups, it does not benefit all groups and actually brings social dilapidation in the long run. But free trade must be entirely free. Buying American is a rather silly concept because economies know no national boundaries. They don't obey political boundaries. Economy or economics simply allows a person to buy the best quality at the lowest price wherever he can get it, and taking into account transportation costs, information costs, and so forth. And this is the best thing for people in the long run. Now, I know it hurts when someone loses a job to so-called offshoring and so forth, but people need to not look at free trade as being a culprit or a bad thing that brings this up, if true free trade I'm talking about, not the phony free trade again. Instead, they need to look at why jobs suffer the fluctuations they do, and look to government regulation as the meddling force, that causes the chaos and the grief in people's life far more than do new technologies and new ways of doing things. Just remember, folks, when the buggy whips went out, when the coaches went out, lots of people lost their jobs. But because it was a freer market then, a far freer market, those people were able to translate themselves into other jobs. And people looking for laborers to be employed in new factories and new industries were able to provide programs that would retrain people and pull them into new job skill sets. And so that's what we need to look for, folks, not the stagnation of production by forcing people to keep antiquated industries here in America, but less government regulation and meddling, which causes the distortive effects that leave us with far less opportunity as consumers and producers in this country. At any rate, you've been listening. That's a controversial way to end the show today. Hope you appreciate the food for thought this morning. We're happy to talk more about the free trade fraud as well as true free trade on tomorrow's show. This has been Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. So glad you listened and joined us this morning. Look forward to another show with you again tomorrow right here on the Tyranny Response Network. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
This is Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your